This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the rebellion by the mercenary Wagner Group in Russia exposes real cracks in President Putin's authority. Did the U.S. see this coming? Secretary of State Blinken.
We always prepare for every contingency. In terms of what happens in Russia, it's an internal matter for the Russians to figure out.
CBS's David Martin has more on that brief rebellion led by Yevgeny Prigozhin.
An armed mutiny by Russia's toughest fighters set off a head-spinning sequence of events with rebel troops advancing on Moscow. Former ambassador to Russia John Sullivan says Vladimir Putin's iron grip on power has been tested like never before.
This is the most significant threat that I think he has faced.
Prigozhin was an ex-convict who became a caterer and made a fortune off his reputation as Putin's favorite chef. Then he turned to war, putting his mercenary force of convicts and veterans at Putin's service.
Prigozhin turned his forces around after striking a deal with the leader of Belarus. Retired General David Petraeus tells CNN Prigozhin's future is uncertain.
Prigozhin kept his life but lost his Wagner Group, and he should be very careful around open windows in his new surroundings in Belarus, where he's going.
In San Antonio, Texas, a tragic accident where a worker was killed after being ingested into an airplane engine. Here's KENS-TV's Andrew Moore.
When I first got there, the entire area of inside the terminal where the gates were was in turmoil.
As Michael Braun entered a terminal at SA International, it was clear something went very wrong. There was a hazmat crew coming onto the tarmac and a tarp covering something up.
There was a large gray, blackish tarp. And generally, in those kind of cases, there's a body underneath it.
The National Transportation Safety Board says a Delta flight was taxiing to its gate and a ground worker somehow went into the plane's engine.
Pride parades are taking place all over the country and all over the world this weekend. In New York City,
it feels really cool to know, like, I'm okay with being myself here and I don't have to, like, look over my shoulder and be afraid.
We gotta come and party with everybody, you know.
Electric flying taxis could be coming to Paris just in time for the Olympics.
It seems a lot like the cartoon The Jetsons, electric-powered taxis zooming above the traffic-filled city. But it could be a reality if European regulators sign off on a small fleet of flying taxis operated by the German company Volocopter. Its CEO wants the first passenger to be French President Emmanuel Macron.
CBS's Wendy Gillette in Paris. This is CBS News.
Need hires who dazzle without the hassle? You need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson and Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Now that the pandemic is over, people are driving again as much as they did before COVID-19. As Roz Brown reports, that means more people are dying in crashes.
When the pandemic hit in April 2020, nationwide, vehicle miles traveled plummeted by 40% from the year before. But 2 years later, they'd mostly climb back up. U.S. traffic deaths also surged from 2020 to 2021, according to TRIP, the nonprofit Road Information Project. Trip's Rocky Moretti says in Texas, fatalities climbed 24% over the past 4 years.
When you see those type of fatality increases, it is a reflection largely of the behavior of drivers.
In general, large western states reported more traffic deaths during the study period, but Connecticut and Vermont showed the highest percentage increases. Moretti paints a grim picture of what kinds of fatal accidents increased, noting the share of motorcyclists not wearing helmets from 2019 to 2021 almost doubled.
Alcohol-involved crashes up 22%. The number of people unrestrained up 20%. Speeding crashes up 23% and distracted by 13%. And motorcycle deaths are up 20%.
And it wasn't just vehicle accidents that increased. Moretti says significantly higher bicycle and pedestrian fatalities also contributed to the 42,000 traffic deaths last year.
Clearly, what we saw was riskier behavior by motorists.
The National Highway Traffic Administration says beyond vehicle damage, Other economic costs of crashes include medical care, lost productivity, legal and court costs, insurance administrative costs, and workplace costs. I'm Roz Brown.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5. The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
But we also proved that I'm not always nice.
But even when you're upset and even when you're ticked off, you still come from a place of compassion and love. Whereas I'm just old, bitter, and jaded.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Big question for a Monday, but what is the most important problem to address in Wisconsin currently? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. In your opinion, on the variety of issues and problems we are facing as a state, what should politicians be focused on that would help the most amount of people? 844-967-2789. It's a big question for a federal holiday.
It is.
Happy Juneteenth to everyone who celebrates.
Absolutely.
We are here. We are live. This is not a recording. But I am planning on going to Juneteenth, the Juneteenth celebration in Milwaukee later this afternoon. But we are here this morning. And Jane Lanier, what do you think the biggest problem is? If you had to pick one, there's many, but if you had to pick one that you feel like is a bipartisan, nonpartisan, like we got to fix this soon, what do you think it is?
Well, because we need people in the workforce and because we want to encourage people to move here and we want to encourage younger people to stay here, and now we're going to be forcing women to have babies. So I would think that childcare and making sure that we have a robust childcare system in Wisconsin is pretty critical right now.
That is pretty critical. That is a big one. And we are going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking to Corrine Hendrickson and Chelsea Chandler, not to be confused with Chelsea Handler. I'm sure she gets that a lot. But at 10:30, they're both going to be joining about some of the actions and organizing and protests that are being planned because of our topic on Friday, where the GOP Republican, the Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee decided at 2:30 in the morning on Thursday night.
Because they're so proud of it.
Last week. That they will not renew funding for the Child Care Accounts program, despite the fact that literally millions of dollars go to their districts and help a total in just those 11 lawmakers who made this vote in their districts. This helped 21,000 kids and 563 child care centers.
Well, they're just going to have to deal with it.
So yeah, that's a big one, child care. We'll talk about that. I think in general, population is a big deal of getting people to move here, getting people to stay here, mm-hmm. getting people to plant roots here. But how you get to do that, there's a lot of debates on that because I would say there's problems inside of that bigger problem to get people to do exactly that. But I would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. What is the most important problem to address in Wisconsin currently, in your opinion? Obviously, there's debate. But John Kay on the YouTube live stream which you can always find us if you would like to watch this show instead of listen to this show. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and our live stream at As Goes Wisconsin. But of course, you can also just listen to the show on the Civic Media app. But John Kay says on the YouTube live stream, childcare and education, which are tied together. We need to reevaluate the vouchers, support childcare in the state, and keep people working. The GOP attacks both, so we need to defend this. Totally agree. I think that is a great, top priority, in my opinion. What do you think? I mean, I think there's certain people who would definitely, if we've heard in the past, people talk about PFAS and some of our environmental issues being some of the top stuff. But I would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. What is the biggest problem that needs to be addressed? Ideally, things that can be addressed by politicians, because I am going to make a point eventually. But first, we have a call.
We do. We have our friend Rob from Port Edwards is joining us. Good morning, Rob. Thanks for calling in. What do you want to say?
Good morning, ladies. Great show again. I look at all of the, not just the state, but the United States as a whole, the biggest issue in my mind is the gerrymandering.
Mm-hmm.
All of, not all, but a lot of the issues that you're talking about and will be talked about when I get off the phone here are related directly to a very biased legislature, whether it's at the state or at the federal level. And until we can resolve getting people that actually have a differing opinion count at the voting at the polls, you know, where they can elect officials that are willing to listen and act on what the citizens want. All of these things, whether it's childcare or it's education or it's dealing with PFAS, we need a legislature that's responsive to its constituency. And right now they're Teflon. They could care less. They're going to keep getting reelected. And that's unfortunate because, again, people are not being, they're being heard, but not listened to.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not acting on what we truly want to see in this state. I think generally folks around here that I, you know, I'm in a very conservative area, but they do want clean water. They
totally.
Do want clean government. They do respect and appreciate a good education system and all of these sorts of things. We need to get this changed, and that's kind of like the cornerstone. Once that happens, then all of these other things are going to kind of fall in line. There will be a change in the education funding and proper funding for major communities, not just the small rural communities, and the amount of money going to the charter schools, the private schools in some of these districts is vastly greater than it is to public schools. How can that be?
I know. And that's the big trade-off that just happened with the shared revenue deal. But Rob, if you're interested in gerrymandering, we're actually going to be talking at the top of the hour at 11 o'clock with John Johnson, who is a research fellow at Marquette University Law School, who's written a lot about redistricting. And we're going to talk about what is the reality, because we know that we're all kind of waiting. Not we all. A lot of us are waiting for justice-elect Janet Protasiewicz to be inaugurated in August, and how quickly potentially the redistricting lawsuit could come. What would that mean? Who would redraw the maps? But also, like, with our geography, what is the likelihood? What are the scenarios that Dems could get a majority? Not that that's necessarily the point, but we're going to be talking all about that at 11 o'clock with John Johnson. So you should stay tuned. So thanks for the call, Rob.
Very good. Amen. Have a great day.
No. You too.
You too, Rob. Bye-bye. Thanks so much. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Dave from Mequon. Hey, Dave. Good morning.
Good morning. Great show. I just wanted to just chime in really quickly. It really depends on what part of the state you're in. I think in Milwaukee, you know, obviously you've got a whole different dynamic going on in Milwaukee versus, you know, let's say like Green Bay or Madison. But that being said, your caller talked about gerrymandering and what have you. I look at it this way. I think at the end of the day, both sides want, you know, the same things. Just it comes down to different solutions.
Different avenues to get there.
part of my, yeah, and part of my whole thing is, and I've had, you know, discussions with Earl on this many, many times, you know, everyone says, well, public education and what have you. The problem is, there really is not, even though we've been dumping more money into public education through referendums and increases and what have you, the test scores have been going down across the entire state. And that concerns me because at the end of the day, there doesn't seem to be any accountability for that. We'll just keep pouring more money into it, but it's not. And it's not just a Wisconsin thing. It's actually a nationwide thing where test scores, proficiency rates are, even in Mequon. I mean, when I first moved in Mequon in 2006, the proficiency rates were like top in the state. Homestead High School, other places, this is a, like an epidemic now where there's a large percentage, I mean, not the majority, but there's a substantial reduction in proficiencies in math and English and what have you. And it's nerve-wracking because I don't think, you know, the politicians, while they say, well, we're going to fix this, it does not seem to be working. And there has to be, I think, better tools. I think there has to be more engagement from parents in general. And I do think, you know, the previous caller said, well, you know, charter schools are making out like bandits and what have you with this. At the end of the day, the parents need to be more engaged with the kids. And when you have high truancy rates, be it in Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, whatever, they're not going to learn because they're not at school. So, you have that dynamic.
So for you, the number one, because I just want to be able to, because we're coming up against a break, but for you, you'd say the biggest problem we need to solve right now is education, and in that, like being able to read, pass, like better test scores, et cetera, like that?
Yes.
Great.
Yes. We really need to, because if we don't do that as a society, these kids that are now in school now, when they get to be adults, they're going to be way behind the curve, and they're going to have a lot of painful lessons as far as, you know, going forward in advancing whatever, you know, they may be interested in.
So, totally. Well, thank you for the call, Dave. So far we've heard.
Thanks, Dave.
Yep, got it. So far we've heard gerrymandering. We've heard schools. We've heard childcare, we heard education again. Still would love to hear from you. What do you think the biggest problem is in Wisconsin currently that should be addressed? 844-967-2789. And the reason I bring this up, which is what we're going to get to after the break, is because I don't think any of the biggest problems, even our more conservative audience members may list, had anything to do with the 32 resolutions that were voted on at the Republican Party convention this weekend. We're going to go through some of those when we get back. But I just read this list and I'm like, what problems is your platform actually solving? Maybe I'm wrong, but we still would love to hear from you. What is the biggest problem in Wisconsin currently? 844-96-PARTY. We'll be back in just a moment. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Do you hear the people sing, singing the song of man?
Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday, or is it Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday
to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Mattenair, and we are asking, what is the most important problem that our elected officials should be trying to solve for Wisconsin? You know, what would solve the biggest problems for the most amount of people? And taking your calls, taking your texts at 844-967-2789. And I would just, you know, also feel free as I run down this list of resolutions that were proposed and voted on at the Wisconsin Republican Convention this weekend in La Crosse. And see if it reflects, you know, what comes to mind when you first are thinking about big problems.
What do we need in
Wisconsin? What do we need? Like, who's really complaining and this is a real struggle for, that this is the most important issues to be voted on at our annual convention to really show and draw the line of, like, this is where we stand.
What we believe in.
What we believe in. Because, first one, sign off on the elimination of the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
What?
WEC. The one, the commission that they created.
That Scott Walker created.
That Scott Walker created. So that was, that was one of them.
They want to get rid of the WEC.
Overall, there was 32 proposals that are non-binding. They're non-binding resolutions that the Republican delegates voted for at their state convention over the weekend. And basically, their proposed solutions that had to come, that came from at least one of the party's 8 congressional district caucuses. And, you know, in order to make the convention, there has to be approved by a committee. So these have all been approved at least one level to make it to the convention. And like I said, they're non-binding, but if they were passed, which we're still waiting to hear which ones passed and which one didn't, but because Civic Media wasn't there, we were uninvited, but they expressed the views of the convention delegates. So,
okay. So
number one, sign off on the elimination of the Wisconsin Election Commission. Another one. Withdrawing the state from the Electronic Information Election Center, an interstate consortium of for voter registration data.
Oh.
So still kind of, you know, paranoid about
voting
stuff.
Especially those college kids.
Eliminate campus voting for college students.
Yeah, they hate those college kids, man.
Amid the claims, students who arrive at college campuses in the fall are immediately campaigned by Democrats and are repeatedly told by faculty and other students who they should vote for. The resolution said students shall vote by absentee ballot at the polling place assigned to their permanent home address.
Oh, for pity's
sake. Not a temporary college address.
Again, so basically they don't want college students to vote. We're going to make it as difficult as humanly possible because it's a right.
They also voted on ending most forms of early voting.
Oh, but didn't the head of the party
there was a lot of conflict over this? Even Ron Johnson and Voss are saying that they actually are supporting early voting, but that was one of the resolutions.
And the head of the party just said, basically, we can't start from a deficit. We have to encourage more early voting.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. End of the teaching of critical race theory from future educational models in Wisconsin schools. So there's that. Implementation of laws protecting children from the preparation of students towards sexuality below the fifth grade. Drag in schools or libraries demands legislation to prevent outside people or groups from providing reader or also drag queens whose morals deviate from the public at large. So this is going after drag queens, I guess, at libraries. Big problem. It's happening.
It's
just everywhere.
I know.
Protection of female sports calls for the legislation to prohibit any publicly funded organizations from allowing biological males from participating in any female sports programs. Reminder that when this first came up in 2021 and this bill was first proposed to ban any biological male from performing in being in school, girls' sports, the lawmakers who proposed that bill could not list a single case of it happening in Wisconsin.
Well, that's not the problem.
Yes. Banning physical treatments of gender dysmorphia in minors. And because this, apparently people are still really itching for ivermectin. Because they also voted on a resolution to make ivermectin an over-the-counter medication and to end vaccine mandates.
Let them take it. let them take ivermectin. Go ahead.
So I just read, I saw this coming over the weekend, even though I was trying to unplug and celebrate my birthday and be out of town. But I saw this come in as far as what these proposals and these resolutions were. And I was just like, have they learned nothing since the spring election where they just got thumped?
They've learned nothing.
In that, why are you not trying to focus on the things that people actually care about?
Because they know better, Kristen. We have Mark from the SAC on the phone. Mark, real quick, we got about a minute left. What do you want to say?
Yeah, I thought the thing for voting was if you live someplace for 30 days, that's where you're supposed to be voting. So these students have lived for like 60 days by the time the election rolls around in November. And they started saying living there in September. And they probably have a lease signed in there here in Madison or wherever they're, whatever campus that they're particularly on. So that's what should be their voting address, not their supposed permanent address. So these Republicans could just stick it.
Thank you so much, Mark. We are really coming right up against the bricks.
All right. Well, when we come back, we are going to be talking about what I think is a huge problem and hopefully some actions that you can take to reverse the actions that Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee took last week about child care in our state. We're going to be talking to Corinne Hendrickson, who's the owner of Corinne's Little Explorers and a member of the Wisconsin leadership team for Main Street Alliance, along with Chelsea Chandler, who is a parent who has a heck of a drive just to be able to access child care. So stay tuned. Definitely have some actions for you to take by listening to what they are working on. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. Secretary of State Antony Blinken tells CBS the brief rebellion by the mercenary Wagner Group in Russia is over. But what comes next?
Too soon to tell what's going to happen to the Wagner forces. It's too soon to tell whether they're going to go back into the fight as Wagner, whether they get integrated into regular Russian forces, what this means for Wagner and other parts of the world.
Canadian investigators are looking into the submersible implosion. CBS's Adriana Diaz reports.
They're looking into the Polar Prince's role as a support vessel and the circumstances that may have caused the implosion that killed all five people on board the Titan. The U.S. Coast Guard is also investigating, searching for additional evidence near the Titanic wreckage site.
A pride parade in New York City today. Governor Kathy Hochul welcomed the crowd.
Today we celebrate the values that we embrace. Love and equality, progress and acceptance, unity and celebration.
CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186. 954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson and Watts. GTWLawyers.com.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson and Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing safe fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help. When I was younger, so much younger than today.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, here with Jane Matinere, as always, and we are joined by Corinne Hendrickson, who is the owner of Corinne's Little Explorers, which is a childcare center in New Glarus, and also a member of the Wisconsin leadership team for Main Street Alliance. And also on the phone with us is Chelsea Chandler, who is a parent who drives from Argyle to Corinne's Little Explorers. And both of these women, like me, I think you might have been... I don't know. You might have been angrier than me on Friday because it probably affects you even more than it directs me directly. But we're talking about the childcare counts being gutted last Thursday. And you all have been pretty busy this weekend trying to organize some actions because you're not going to take this lying down. So welcome to the show, ladies.
Thanks.
So why don't we start? Let's just refresh on what happened last week, and also what this means if nothing changes. So, Corinne, we'll start with you.
So what happened last week was at 1 o'clock p.m., the Joint Finance Committee was supposed to start their hearing. They did not. They pushed it back until 2:30 in the morning. The Joint Finance Committee Democrats twice tried to get it at to get the $340 million included in the budget. They gave impassioned speeches. I highly recommend you look them up on WSI. And then they went to a vote, and the Republicans said no. They gave zero reasons. We do not understand why, because as all of us in WECAN have been communicating with them, we've been reassured that they understand childcare is a problem and that's something that they need to do. They received all kinds of surveys and things and information from WECAN, from other organizations throughout the state. And so basically what's going to happen is 25% of us will shut down. That's 1,000 childcare businesses that they just decided don't matter. But yet they run on small businesses. I just don't understand. They just increased rates on $50 a week per child on hundreds of thousands of children's families. Those parents aren't going to be able to continue to work. So then their employers are going to have to scramble or raise their wages $4 or $5 an hour to be able to get people. So it's just, it's going to be a disaster.
And so that was the thing, was we were discussing things over the weekend that I found interesting. So there was promises made or conversations had with some of the Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee from your perspective that were saying, we understand, we get it. And then they just did a 180.
Yes, we were not. We were figuring something would be in. We didn't know that we'd get the whole thing because, again, once it's in the state budget, that's a commitment going forward.
Yeah.
But we were told that they understood and would be addressing the child care problem. But none of us, to my knowledge, and I speak to thousands of us constantly across the state, have spoken with any of them specifically about their legislation or legislative solutions. So we're really curious why they what they're thinking, because if they want to do something with the Brewers Association, the breweries, they talk to the breweries. If the WMC wants legislation for them, they talk to the WMC members. Why aren't they talking to childcare business owners?
And Chelsea, so from a parent's point of view, how are you feeling that this is has affected you or will affect you or other parents that you know?
Well, Karina's been really clear that, you know, this will increase prices because she has a lot of costs and already works, you know, underpaid, frankly, for all of the work that she does and the value that she provides to our kids and our communities and our businesses. And so we understand that if without this program, rates are going to have to increase for parents. I have two kids, a 2- and a 4-year-old, that are in her program, and I already spend a lot of money on childcare. It's the biggest expense in my life. I pay more for childcare than I do for rent. And so I know that the cost will increase, and we're kind of forced to deal with that. We don't have a lot of other choices, frankly. It would be devastating if we lost our childcare. I know that that's the case for so many parents across the state already. And, you know, we need childcare to work. It's as simple as that. And to have something that's dependable and high quality, you know, I see our childcare provider as a huge resource in our life. She's like, you know, I think of her sort of like our pediatrician for our kids' medical needs. She's, you yeah. know, there for our kids' emotional needs, for their growth, and she cares for them so well. And I just, we're kind of in a tough spot. We don't really know what to do. We've got high prices that are going up, and we can't do anything else other than be forced to leave our jobs, and that's not a good choice for anybody.
Karine, it's remarkable to me that lawmakers have not talked to child care providers. That just blows my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually, so I'm in Greene County. We have 7 elected representatives down here in Greene County. Howard Markline, who is on the Joint Finance Committee, is one of them. Our president for the Greene County Child Care Network has tried to get him to meet with her. We've had 3 different programs try to like set up meetings with him. We've worked with our county workforce development and the Monroe Chamber to try and meet with him. He refuses.
He just flat out won't.
We'll do something about it, but flat out will not. And we've been trying to meet with him for years. We've put together meetings, and all of the Democrats will show up. And actually, Todd Novak's office has sent staffers to like meetings that we've done as a large group to kind of talk to him. But Markline won't even acknowledge our request.
Again, thank you, gerrymandering.
And yes, I made
exactly.
And I made because I want to make the I want to for either of you, both of you, to make the point of like driving this home on how this affects everybody. Because I think the obvious, the people who've been in the trenches talking about this most are obviously people who work in childcare, who see it every day, who see the costs going up, seeing they're losing people because they can't pay them a living wage. Also parents who are driving an hour in each direction just to be able to find someone. costs keep going up. But there's also people like I obviously know because I'm pregnant, like this is a coming thing that I will have to deal with. But my friends who are single, people whose kids are graduated, like how do you drive this home as far as how this affects everyone, not just parents and childcare providers?
Yeah, I can try and take that. I mean, it means that we can't work, so we can't show up as colleagues. We cannot contribute meaningfully to the economy. That hurts everybody, but frankly, I think it hurts women a lot more too, and see a lot of progress being rolled back, which is discouraging on so many levels to force parents to try and make those choices. But yeah, it affects my employer. I cannot contribute. I can't show up to work when I don't have childcare. And if I, you know, I'm spending so much money just to be able to send my kids somewhere, that's less money that I have as disposable income to spend, you know, in other local businesses in my community. So it all gets spread around and we all hurt as a result of that.
Absolutely. We're talking to Corinne Hendrickson, who's the owner of Corinne's Little Explorers in New Glarus and also a member of the Wisconsin leadership team for Main Street Alliance, and Chelsea Chandler, not to be confused with Chelsea Handler, the comedian, who is a parent in Argyle who is directly affected by the fact that the Child Care Counts program, as of right now, got gutted last week. And I want to definitely spend some time as far as talking about what organizing you all have been doing over the weekend as far as actions that people can take, things that people can do, protests that are happening, because this is not over yet, right?
Absolutely not.
And so what are some of those things?
Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to commercial. So so tomorrow we're going to be, WECAN, Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed, is working with the Democrats at the Capitol to put on a rally again, because we did one last Thursday, but we're going to do one again tomorrow, 10 a.m. Location to be determined, speakers to be determined, but we are planning on parents need to be there. Other business owners need to be there. Those grandparents who desperately would love to just be grandma or grandpa and be able to spend time with their grandkids and spoil them rotten and send them home and don't need or want to do 50 hours a week. They've raised their kids. They've earned this. Also, our parents or even us, we're working on our elderly parents and trying to take care of them on top of this. Like, it's so much. You're getting squeezed in so many different directions. And why? We are the only country who does this to our people. And honestly, look over at Minnesota. I know they keep saying Minnesota, people are going to move here, but that's not true. People are going to move there. They just almost added $1 billion for childcare. You get a $2,000 child tax credit. Are you kidding me? Why? Why would you not go there? 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, everybody is invited to this rally. We'll have some scheduled speakers. My goal is to also have just some time for anybody who's there that is inspired to speak up and share their story to do so. We have local news media coming. We're working on national news media coming as well. And it's really important to drive this home that already it costs us $4 billion as an economy every single year because of the lack of childcare. Right now, we have 5,000 empty slots in programs that are open because they can't fill it with teachers, and their big, huge decision and the wonderful thing they're touting, the only thing they can tout is a $15 million revolving loan. How am I going to pay that back? Are you kidding me? And build more programs? Where are you going to get these teachers? This is not the field of dreams. If you build it, they will come. Yeah, the kids will show up, but the teachers won't be there.
And so, yeah. And it is, I want to get back to the actions in just a moment, because I know that there's talks, because when you first emailed me, and what would it look like to actually do a strike? I mean, how organized is the community of childcare workers? Because like, I think about this a lot as far as women's work, like a lot of, like, I would imagine, I don't know what the numbers are, that a huge proportion of childcare center owners or people who are providing childcare are women. Same thing with nursing. So much of our care work is the employees are women. And like, when you say that, you know, Mark Lynde won't meet with you, all of the red, like all of the alarms in my head, as far as just like screaming sexism and just not respecting women's work and what we provide and that not being valuable screams in my head. And so something like an actual strike, because think about what happened during COVID when like childcare centers would have to shut down as soon as there was a kid who was sick and how disruptive that was. So like, what would be the chances of being able to organize and actually go on strike?
It's going to be hard because we need a critical mass.
Okay.
And we have been giving for so long that that's in our nature. And like, look at it this way. Everybody says parents are the only ones that are paying for care right now. No, they're not. We are. We are paying for their care because we are not taking the wages that we deserve.
Yep.
We are not. We don't have health insurance. We don't have retirement. We don't have paid time off. Nothing. I had my baby 14 years ago. I took 4 weeks off and he was 6 weeks early because I could not take more time than that. I know several other examples of that. There's a colleague I have who needs knee surgery. She can't get it because she can't take the time off. So it's ruined both of her knees. I've got another one with a shoulder, same thing. And so, and talk about the sexism. There was actually one of our husband-wife duos, the husband emailed. He got a very, very, very long response that was very detailed about why he couldn't meet with him the next day when he was coming up on Thursday. So yeah, I firmly believe that's a lot of it. Honestly, I'm just going to put it out there.
I just want to scream. I just want to scream so loudly into this microphone, but I won't.
Wow.
All right. So protest is tomorrow. With the 3 minutes that we have left, what should people take away from our conversation right now as far as actions they can take and what they can do to get involved and who they can contact to put more pressure on this? Because it's not over yet. The budget is not signed. There are still negotiations happening, but this affects everyone in their district. And so who do we need to get a hold of to try to actually reverse this?
Okay, so at this point, the next step would be to get a commitment to an amendment to the budget for $340 million to continue child care counts. Every single representative will have the opportunity to vote for that on the budget floor. So they can no longer hide behind the JFC, and if they're a JFC member, and say, oh, I understand, but it's JFC. So right now, contact your rep, maps.legis.wisconsin.gov. You can click on it. It tells you your address, or put your address in, tells you who your reps are, gives them a phone number. Call their offices. Make their phones ring off the hooks. Show up at our rally tomorrow. If your child care program hasn't said anything to you about it, talk to them about it as a parent. You have every right to know what is going to happen to you. Like, I don't understand. Like, I just don't understand why, as the owner, you're not being honest with your, you know, childcare clients and saying, I'm going to have to raise my rates $50 a week in a month and a half or 2 months so that they can prepare and make the decisions they need to make. I know it's not happening because we're scared to tell them because we're scared they'll leave. And then especially family childcare, if I lose a couple kids, I have to worry about my house getting foreclosed on because I can't pay my mortgage. And so it's scary, but it's still at the end of the day, it's on our backs, but we can quit. I can walk away. I can get a different job. But parents like Chelsea, they have their kids. What are they going to do? Chelsea finish up.
Yeah, Chelsea.
Yeah, I just want to emphasize, you know, I'm going to be at the rally tomorrow. I'll be bringing my kids along with me. I think it's really important for parents to show up too and show solidarity with our providers because, you know, they are advocating for themselves, but they're advocating for us too. They're advocating for parents. They're advocating for kids. And, you know, I know that it's hard and disruptive when childcare is closed. Trust me, I know that. I have lived it. But, you know, it just demonstrates how foundational it is to our society for everything working right. So, you know, our providers closing isn't the problem. It's underinvesting in child care. And so we just want to show up in solidarity with them tomorrow. And I hope others will join.
Absolutely. 10 a.m. tomorrow at the Capitol. Show up. This is super important. Corinne and Chelsea, thank you so much for spending time with us today. And keep up the fight. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattinair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Mattinair. I'm kind of bummed that we're going to be on air at 10 a.m. during the thing tomorrow, because I would actually really like to go.
I would, too. And then I'd like to go knock on some legislators' doors.
So should we just switch, see if we could? Does radio work like that? Can we just switch shifts with Todd?
Seems unlikely.
Like, Todd, do you want to do the 10 a.m. show? We'll do the 1 p.m. show.
I don't know that I'll be done knocking by then. That's really infuriating. That's really
the sexism part.
Oh, my gosh.
Because as she said that, you know, because I jumped on and did an Instagram live, and then we are going to get to Good, Bad, and Inconvenient in just a second with headlines. I jumped on an Instagram live with Representative Francesca Hong on Friday afternoon. And it was more of just a vent session for the two of us. But I was talking about that because, you know, as Jane was mentioning, there's people who think that there is a certain type of conservative that would like to just have women not work and go back to the traditional family of men working, women not working and taking. And like this, everything was built on having a parent at home, right? Like that was why this is so hard. But the truth is, the average man is not making enough to support a family anymore just on his salary alone, first of all. And second of all, who do they think is going to take care of people as they get older? Who do you think the hospice care workers are? Who do you think the nurses are? Like, as we have the jobs that actually take care of people that you can't do from home remotely, a lot of those jobs that actually provide services to aging people or to babies are women. So what happens when you just have all of those women not be able to work anymore?
Well, their aging parents can just move in with them and their kids, and then they can take care of everybody at home.
Is that the plan? Like, I
said this last week, though, Kristen. I firmly believe they do not want women in the workforce anymore. We want to go back to the quote unquote good old days when women couldn't get divorced.
Well, no, I mean, that's
women couldn't get credit cards. Women couldn't, I mean, you couldn't get a loan unless you were married. Those are the good old days I think they want.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, pragmatically, like, how does that work?
Well, you're asking for foresight. And I mean, it could be, well, once women are out of the workforce, then men will be able to make that much more money, and then he can be the sole breadwinner. That's not even logical. It's not. I don't know. I would love to know how many people are able for the mom to stay home or dad to stay home.
That's what I mean. I mean, it's like that the ability that you don't, a single income is not necessarily viable anymore to support a family. unless you are a banker or a lawyer. There's certain like
hedge
top
funds.
Yeah, like top tier like six figure jobs that maybe, but a lot of people don't have those jobs. Especially as our decline of people getting higher education continues.
Well, and most of us don't have those jobs.
No.
The vast majority of Americans don't have those kinds of big dollar jobs. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Kurt from Rhinelander joining us. Hey, Kurt, what do you think?
Hey, just got a question. That program was created for the pandemic, wasn't it? The extra funding?
It was originally created for the pandemic, but we were in a crisis even before that.
2001. Yeah, I agree. There is a crisis. I do agree. There's something. But how do you, I agree, but how do you pick and choose what programs you want to continue to keep going that were created because of the pandemic? Know what I mean?
Well, I think when you look at the actual problem, in the case for childcare, Kurt, I would say if you look at the fact that 50 to 70% of Wisconsinites live in a childcare desert, so they have to drive or they have a long commute or don't have access to childcare. The fact that most Wisconsinites are spending a third of their income on childcare, like, this seems like a problem that is a business problem for employers, it's a government problem, it's a worker problem, and so that is something that I feel like should bubble up as something that we would choose to continue because it's not something that went away just cuz COVID went away.
Well, I agree, but it wasn't Republicans didn't cut it out.
They did. They cut it out on Thursday.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't cut nothing out. That was created because of the pandemic. That money came from the federal government. It's just not added onto the state budget.
So they're choosing not to continue it.
No, they're choosing. It's not. It wasn't state funded money. It was coming from the federal government. So what program? So we reinstate all the pandemic programs yet? That's why we're in the mess we are with inflation.
So, Kurt, with the $7 billion budget, what do you think we should be spending that? The $7 billion surplus, what do you think we should be spending it on?
Why do we have to spend it? Why can't we keep it?
Because I think the austerity is actually causing more problems than it's solving. If we're in a really good financial place to invest in things that would make people's lives easier, why aren't we doing that?
Yes. Why does it have to be spent?
But what's the benefit of not spending it?
Interest.
To do what with it? And then what? What do you? I mean, it's just to accumulate money to sit on?
There's another pandemic that goes on. There's going to be a reserve. Our natural disaster in Wisconsin. That's what happens when you save up money. You have it for the future. Just because you got a little money in a check account doesn't mean you have to spend it.
Well, but we have problems now that need to be fixed.
It's a little more than a little extra money.
Yeah, but there's a lot of pandemic programs people wanted to keep besides child care. And I agree, there is a problem with child care. But what do you draw the line?
Well, and that's why you have good faith arguments and debates in the legislature to understand what do our constituents want? What are we hearing the most of? And my problem is where we started the show is that what it seems they want to talk about is DEI and drag queens and a bunch of things that actually aren't people's problems when they're sitting down and talking about what is affecting their budget, what's affecting their livelihood, is not the things that the Republicans keep wanting to legislate on. And so we have to go to a break, Kurt, but thanks for the call. And I mean, I hear you as far as like there's an austerity argument, but I just don't think in the problems that we're facing right now that we can just like sit on it. Like there's things that have to be solved and some of those things take money to do.
And trust me, they're going to use some of that money to pay off their rich buddies. That's exactly where some of that $7 billion is going to go.
Absolutely.
Because that's where their priorities are.
All right. Well, we didn't get to good, bad, and inconvenient, so...
Tomorrow's
another day. All right, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, John Johnson, research fellow at Marquette Law School, is going to be here to talk about the future of redistricting in this state, what it could look like, different projections. And it may not be as, you know, for some Democrats, this may be a hard pill to swallow, but geography is geography. So we will talk about that when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Ah! cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite, and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.